Wake up, boys, there's a light at the window. I can hear someone knocking on the door. There are voices in the street and the sound of running feet, and they whisper the word revolution. There are men coming down from the valleys. There are tall ships lying off the coast, and they carry the light in the dark of the night, like a whisper in the wind. Revolution. Bring my gun and a handful of silver. By the sea we will gather for the fight. It's been so many years, so many tears. We have lost once before, now we'll settle the score. When our cannons will roar,
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and today is May the 31st in the year 2020. Welcome to my show. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, you can find out the different ways to listen to me. Let's see. Let me go there right now. Armchairsurvivalist.com. And then any page there, any page whatsoever, all you do is scroll down and you can see the different ways to listen to me, all the podcast stuff. This is all this newfangled crap that I don't know much about. You can listen to me on Stitcher, on Anchor FM, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora. There's over 20 of these different places that you can listen to me on. You can download their apps and listen to me on your smartphone. You can listen on your satellites, Globalstar 3 satellite, and they're on any of my pages at armchairsurvivalist.com. You will find the little satellite dish that's kind of scrolling back and forth, and there is in red, it says 24/7 live feed, and that's the live feed of Globalstar 3. You can listen in my chat room. You click anywhere at the top of the page says, listen to my show live Sunday in the chat room. You click on that. You can go there and listen. You can sign up to be in the chat room if you want. If you ask questions, people there will answer the questions, or you can talk amongst yourselves, what have you. And if you miss the show at any time and you want to pick it up from the beginning, there's another thing you can click on. It says, listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click here. You do that, boom, you're ready to listen to the show. Also, you can listen on your phone. It's not toll-free. It's your dime. Area code 641-741-0371. That's 641-741-0371. Now, if you want to listen to any of my shows of the current year, on the left-hand side of any of the ArmchairSurvivalist.com pages will be the little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You just click on that, and that'll take you to a page that has all of my shows for the current year. At the end of every year, I delete all of the shows that I have stored, and then I just start posting the current ones. And that's what's there from January 5th through the replay of last week, which was 5/24. Okay, so I've got to get some news out of the way of Survival Enterprises, my store. You can go to survivalenterprises.com, SE1 at Samuel Edwards, the numeral 1, SE1.us, or you can even come into the store in Hayden, Idaho. We're on Government Way. Well, I'm going to tell you guys, I understand that the world's gone topsy-turvy, and a lot of you have lost your butts one way or the other. And I do not want to close my store, but I can tell you this. We're to the point now, we're under attack. Now, when I say we, I mean Survival Enterprises, nutritional company. And there's thousands of us out there. We're under attack by Big Pharma. They discovered this a good backdoor means of destroying a lot of competition. The largest depositors into the financial systems in the United States are Big Pharma. So what they tell the financial institutions to do, to a certain degree, they're going to do it. As of December 10th last year, we couldn't take credit cards anymore, and nobody could tell us why. They claimed, oh, it's because you take you sell CBD, or it's because you've had complaints, or I mean, they give us makeup. They make up all of these things, and then now it's at to the point where they don't make up anything. They just say no. We've tried 8 different processing companies. And filled out all of the forms and done everything that they wanted. And when he gets down to the line, the agent that's working for us to sign us up says, well, they just refuse and they don't tell me why. Okay? I don't know what to do about it. I don't know. You know, is there an agency I can call to complain about this? I have no clue because I don't know. But I do know that all we can do is take cash. And if people call us on the phone and say, I want to order something or other, well, we can take your check over the phone. And then we print the check up and we deposit it and we wait for it to clear and then we ship out your product. It's very simple. Unfortunately, it's time consuming and humans have an attention span on the internet of about 3 seconds. So when they go to buy something and it turns out that they can't use a credit card, they're off to the races. They're looking at somebody else. We've lost over 75% of our income. We are barely making enough right now to pay the rent. But as long as we can pay the rent and food, then we're going to try and stay in business. But I'm telling you guys right now, if our sales don't increase, we're not going to have any to sell. We're not going to be here anymore. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe I can start doing my show every day instead of 7 days a week because I work for a living. Well, if I don't work for a living anymore, I might have more time to do more of my show. I'm going to start, not this show, but next show, I'm going to start having more time to explain our products to you guys. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Everything's changing now because of the communist takeover in the United States. Oh, did I say communist? I meant Democrat. Same difference, though. And we'll get to that, as a matter of fact, because many of you have asked me, why do I literally hate Democrats? Well, it's the run-of-the-mill I don't. They're just useful idiots, as most Democrats are. They're just useful idiots, but it's the ones that are professional Democrats. All right, so we're going to get into the category economy. Now, most of you already know this, but for those of you who are joining me for the first time or who have forgotten, that everything I say, I post the source for it. So if I'm talking about anything in the economy, you can go to armchairsurvivalist.com, and on the left-hand side, you'll see a link that says show notes. You click on the show notes, it'll take you to the dates of all my different shows, and it'll give a little synopsis, you know, whatever I'm talking about. Well, you click on that, and it takes you to my show notes page where you can look at all the source. So we're going to be talking about the economy right now. And if you question anything that I say, you just go there, and you can see it for yourself. Now, I'm going to have a link. It's from wolfstreet.com. This is the unemployment rate for each state. The lowest unemployment rate right now is basically 8% in Connecticut to over 28% in Nevada. And it lists all of the different states and all the different unemployment rates. And I'm in Idaho. So you scroll down here, and unfortunately, it's not alphabetical. But I see right here, Idaho has a 11.5 unemployment rate, where it's normally about 1.6, no, 2.8. It's real low, because nobody moves to Idaho by accident. And you can forget about living off of welfare here. But now, and this is just what they claim, okay? This is, you know how they get the unemployment rate? By how many people are applying for unemployment. But when you have 50% of the population, the working population, work for themselves, like, I know people here that do contracting. They're not contractors. They're just guys who were contractors, but they're tired of getting screwed by the government and ordered to get licenses, so they do it on the side. And they make pretty good money, and there are people here who repair cars. They don't work for somebody, so if they can't work on any cars, they can't file for unemployment. But they're out here. And there's hundreds of thousands of them in Idaho, at least. There's plenty of them in other states as well. Big news on the mainstream media this week. CBS got hit with massive layoffs. They're not telling you how many people they're laying off, but based on some data, over 50 people are being laid off. Now, that's just CBS. Now, I'm a member of MoveOn.org, Resist.org, DaityCost.net. These are all communist websites, and they all are complaining now because they're losing their butts. They're having to lay people off, and they think it's magic. They don't know. They can't understand why. Now, it's funny, and I read some months back. I read an article I received from the Daily Kos. Now, just so you know, the Daily Kos, KOS.com, or is it com or org or whatever it is? It can be found. They are a communist organization. They're run by communists. They're staffed by communists. All of their writers are communists. Unfortunately, the articles they post are what the mainstream media and the useful idiots in the Democrat Party use. They use these talking points. This is the place where the talking points are originated. They were complaining because the right-wing, evil Nazi Fox News is winning all kinds of awards and expanding, whereas all of the communist places like ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, I mean, all of them are collapsing. So CBS got hit with a whole bunch of firings. In Australia, there is another organization run by Murdoch that is having to stop printing more than 100 Australian newspapers. You know, most people go, 100 newspapers in Australia? Yeah, it's a big place. He's closing down over 100 of the newspapers there because nobody's buying advertising, and that's where it is. Nobody's listening to what they're saying on the air. Nobody's reading the newspapers. The Daily Mail in England, it's not mail, it's actually a magazine. Well, their revenues have plunged over 70% because people are no longer advertising in there. When a newspaper is used basically to line the bottom of a birdcage or put in a bathroom floor so your new puppy can piss and poop on it, well, at that point, nobody cares anymore about it. They are just laying off people, closing newspapers. This is worldwide. Remember, we're under the economy. So all these different things I'm talking about have to do with the economy. And in general, and sometimes very specific, the Mall of America, the largest U.S. shopping center in the United States, has missed 2 months of payments. Now, you and me, we missed a month of our lease or something. It's going to be $500,000. Who knows? And they have missed two payments. This is big. This, yes, we might be coming out of, quote unquote, this pure government-controlled shutdown, but it has affected. You know, this whole thing is an exercise. Pompeo said that over the air months ago. We're in the middle of an exercise. Big bankruptcies are sweeping the U.S. There's a guy downtown in Coeur d'Alene who handles bankruptcies. He's just a little guy, just right? He's been doing this now for 25 years. Well, he closed the doors because, and I found this out, all he's doing now is working for giant corporations. They're filing bankruptcies like crazy. We all know JCPenney, J. Crew Group. These places like that are filing bankruptcy, but there's more than that. There are some massive corporations that are filing bankruptcy. In fact, American Express, and I could tell you something, American Express card. When I was a kid, well, when I was a hippie, okay, a little older than a kid, I noticed all these friends of mine that were just gutter trash lowlife, and they had American Express cards. I couldn't believe it. And they said, well, they'll give it to anybody. You just use it until they take it away from you. Well, I never did that stuff, but American Express is famous for giving out cards to anyone because they basically make you pay it at the end of the month. And I guess it's a good idea. You know, it's a good idea to have something like that if you need it. American Express is shifting thousands of their salespeople to collections because people aren't paying their bills. So they're having to have their salespeople, they stop sales. They would cold call or send out all kinds of letters and emails to people saying, hey, you can get an American Express card, $5,000 limit monthly, $5,000 a month. Well, now they're stopping that because all of the cards that they've given out to people who don't prove their credit worthiness are going to collections now. Another thing that's happening, and I can see this in Coeur d'Alene, there are evictions coming soon. Massive, well, they call it an avalanche of evictions. And this is coming hard and fast. All of you out there who have used this as an excuse, or whether it's real or not, right? There's a lot of people who didn't get bumped out of work. There's a lot of people who ignored it and still are making money. But then they use this lockdown as an excuse not to pay their rent. Whether you use this as an excuse or it was valid as a reason that you didn't pay rent, they're going to be evicting you. Landowners don't have an option. They have to follow the law. And if you don't pay rent, they can't pay their mortgage. And the next thing you know, they're being repossessed. And that happens. There is major, major evictions coming. Not just, you know, 50 or 60 in a city. Now, here's something. And I was actually thinking about this. Drive-in theaters are the original social distancing entertainment. You're more than 6 feet apart from the guy next to you. And you just park there and you watch a nice movie and eat some popcorn and do whatever you do in a drive-in. Well, the Dolphins turned the Hard Rock Stadium into an outdoor drive-in. I think that's cool. Here in town, we have a theater that, well, it's one of them five-screen theater complexes. It's run by a family, really nice people, very inexpensive. He's going to put a projector out in a parking lot, and people park out in a parking lot and watch movies on the side of his building. I think that's kind of cool. And I wasn't sure where to put this one. It could be under government threat, but I put it under here because it has to do with the economy. MasterCard is joining the ID Identification 2020 Alliance. What is that? What that is an organization that wants a digital identification for you to do anything, such as enter a building, fly a plane, use your MasterCard. They're literally looking at how can they do this. Well, you know, you have a MasterCard app on your phone. To use it, you actually have to give your thumbprint to it. You know, all of this crap is a double-edged sword, except we're not getting the good side of this sword. We're getting the bad side of the sword. Now we're going to go into food and health, and I only have one thing on this one, and this refers back to some things that we've already talked about, and the Ice Age farmers already talked about. Most farmers, if not all, in the United States that sell, I mean, a farmer's got 2 acres, who cares? But I'm talking about the 1,000-acre farmer, or the people that raise 10,000 hogs, or 5,000 cattle, or what have you. The big guys are usually subsidized by the Department of the Interior or the Agricultural Department, or, I mean, all these different departments, they subsidize the farmers. So that's a double-edged sword, too. You get money from the deep state, you have to follow their rules. And what's happening now is the farmers that were euthanizing pigs, their pork, right? And I've talked about this. They're getting in trouble because they didn't get permission. So the Department of Justice just gave the permission so that these farmers can start killing off about 700,000 hogs per week. The problem is this: it's a chain. So they raise these hogs, and it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to take care of their medical problems, to keep them in a building that's safe and sanitary, and to feed them. And the idea is when they get to a certain point, well, they ship them all to a processing plant. that kills them, packages them up, and ships them off to the stores. Well, that ain't happening because these processing plants are being shut down because the people that work there are hotbeds for disease. So these people don't know what the farmers don't know what to do. So they've been illegally, quote unquote, euthanizing hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of cattle and hog a week. Well, now the Department of Justice has given their permission that these guys can kill about 700,000 hogs a week, up to 700,000 hogs a week. I look at something like that and go, you know what? They're just pretending that this is nothing. And let's destroy the foods. Let's destroy what people are eating now in the United States. But here's your approval that you can do this. We're giving you the approval to decimate the food source that people in the United States have counted on for over 100 years. Okay, under the Wuhan virus, I only have a few things under that. See, if you haven't noticed yet, you know, I have all these different categories. In the beginning of this year, the Wuhan virus category was a large one. And now it's down to not too much because government threat has taken over. In the first part here, Italy. And this is the country that's hit hard because they were stupid. They have very close ties with China, and they didn't care that they were becoming poisoned by them. Well, what these researchers are doing now in Italy are going back and looking at the bodies of people who had died months ago from so-called COVID-19, and they're finding that these people actually died from chlamydia pneumonia. This is a highly infectious version of pneumonia. It's called walking pneumonia. And it's in the majority of the patients that have died. And now that they looked at it, they're realizing the symptoms from COVID-19 are similar to these from the chlamydia pneumonia. I'll have a link for that, and you can go look it up yourself. I'll also have a link from the CDC that explains exactly what that version of pneumonia is. Now, here's something else the Italian medical doctors are doing. They're experimenting with treating people homeopathically. So they took 50 people in a row that needed to be hospitalized, and they started treating them with homeopathic medicines. And these are herbs. These are specialized herbs that were given to these patients. And you have to know what you're doing. You can't just grab a handful of herbs and say, here, eat this. So I have a link to that, and it talks about the herbs that were given, how often they were given, and the fact that every single one of these people came out of it on the other end perfect. And the course of these it's about 10 days average, taking these herbs. So there are treatments that work. There's so much stuff out there that kills anything. I mean, it's ridiculous. In the store, we have oregano oil. We have colloidal silver. It kills all known pathogen. And people are using this, and not just those. We have other things here on the shelves, and people are using all of this stuff. We don't get sick. We've got nobody sick up here. Nobody has died in northern Idaho. All right, well, now we're going into a category called liberal psychosis. This is the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, and fear. And I'm going to give you a little bit of history of the Democrat Party. I did an article earlier this year on the enemies of America, and it was specializing in the Democrat Party and why they are the largest enemy of freedom in the free world that exists. There has always been, for at least 1,000 years, a group on Earth that controls much of the economy. 1,000 years ago, they were the loners. You know, these are the people that the money changers. These are the people that had the funds, the gold, the silver, and they could control whole segments of society. Well, these are families that have been in existence for a long time, and they've kept this control within these family units. Their goal in life is complete subjugation of the human race. Not like you think. They want to be able to control everything that we do and guide everything that we do so that they can benefit from everything that we do. They can get richer. They can gain more power, gain more control. It's almost like a chess game amongst these families, between each other. Well, 3 months before the Declaration of Independence was signed, this guy by the name of Adam Weishaupt. He wanted to put together a group, an organization that would represent these family units, these controllers, these people that want all control. He realized that every nation was a little bit different and couldn't be subjugated as easily as other nations. Like Asia was easy to do because the people there have been raised as peons, as slaves. And Russia was the same way. It needed a little bit of help later on. You see, every country was a little different. He knew America was not going to be subjugated easily because we're a warrior race. Americans are fighters. They don't take crap. Well, they didn't then. So he decided he's going to play the long game. So he created an organization 3 months before the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776. And the organization was called the Illuminati. The Illuminati is still in existence and has still been recruiting people, and it has different levels. It has the ruling families, and below the ruling families, it has the minions. These are the people that work for the ruling families to change things, and they control these people. And then below them are more minions or servants. And then below them are what we call, and what the Soviet Union refers to as, useful idiots. These useful idiots, this group did everything they could to eradicate the concepts of what was founding this new nation of ours. They didn't like the idea of freedom for everyone. They hated it, in fact. And they did everything they could to promote slavery, promote control of other peoples, other nations. And it didn't work really well with most of the citizens of the United States. They didn't like that idea. They didn't know. The United States didn't know that this organization existed. All they knew was that there was a group of people in the United States that was promoting slavery. In 1792, the Democratic Republican Party was formed. Now, in the United States, there were not parties. There was politicians. And they'd get together and they'd argue out what should be done, what shouldn't be done, and then they'd vote on it and it'd pass. Well, after a while, in a very short while, we're talking a dozen years, it was very evident that there were philosophies that were so separate from each other that there was no way that they could communicate and evaluate properly. So they decided that they needed to form political parties. Hence, 1792, the Democratic Republican Party was formed. In 1820, these parties were being infected by the Illuminati, and they were basically creating a country. They're trying to create the United States into a country that could be part of this new one world order. And they wanted to control government, religion, and money. So this, even then, and they didn't use the word new world order. It's very simple. They wanted a one world government, and they were going to be the government. In 1828, the Democrat-Republican Party split is because the majority of the people did not want slavery, and those are the Republicans. It was the Democrats that wanted and promoted the slavery. See, the Democrats at that point were the politicians. These were the minions of the Illuminati. In 1829, open socialistic Fannie Wright societies and working man's party formed to remove religion from schools. See, this is nothing new. They were trying to push this in the early 1800s, the idea you have to remove the morals and the ethics and the integrity of the American people. In 1848, the Communist Manifesto was published by Karl Marx, and he'd been writing these communist writings for over 20 years. So this, he was writing this because he was a member of the Illuminati, and this is how they gain power over people. And this is not a new thing. They've been doing this for years and years and years. 1 year later, the National Teachers Association was founded to promote universal education. Not American education, universal. In 1902, Rockefeller founded General Education Board. You see, they have to go with the children. They have to start with the children. These communists, these people, before the word communist existed, were communists. That's what communism is. Communism is when one person or a small group controls all facets of society. At the end of a barrel, or at the barrel of a gun, or whatever, however you want to state it. And then in 1903, Religious Education Association was formed. Sounds benevolent, doesn't it? Well, it was to form this one world religion. See, the Democratic Party was not created to further the power of the United States of America or the citizens within it. It was created to gain full control over all peoples in the United States. And to do that, they spread racism and hate everywhere they went. The Democrat Party has always been the party of destruction. Their philosophy is very basic. The common man, we're just not able to grasp how life should be. So the Democrats had to control us. They have to control us. And they've always pushed the same effect, government control of all. They believe to this day, and this is the beginning and now, abolition of all private property. The government must own everything. Man has no soul, so can be murdered from inception up to and including right after birth. Man's thoughts determine his gender. Sexual psychosis is 100% acceptable and promoted. There are no borders. White men and Republicans are the cause of all evils. You accuse your enemy of what you are doing as you are doing it to create confusion. That's Karl Marx. Only the elite or their guard should have weapons. And this goes back to knives, swords, crossbows, firearms, whether they can have bronze swords or iron swords, or, you know, that kind of stuff. History, by the way, is fluid and should be changed to validate current thinking. Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. George Orwell. The Constitution is worthless unless it's used to defend their perversions. Morals are just words and have no meaning in today's society. U.S. citizens have no more rights than criminal aliens. Christianity should be destroyed in all its forms. Democrats don't just hate Christianity. They promote godlessness. Anything that attacks whites, men, Christians, patriots, or Americans is of higher value than we are. Reality and truth have no place in their lives. Dems do all they can to make victims, as this is their voting base, and this is the big thing they learned in the 1920s. The Democrats learned that they can't beat the blacks. So instead they discovered, why not control them? So they allowed them off of the dirt plantations, and they put them in what I call the concrete plantation. These are the housing projects. They made them a victim. A victim will reach out for help from whoever offers it. And usually with no more intelligence involved than, oh, you're going to give me a dollar? Sure, thanks. Sexual perversion, illegal drug use, a psychopath, too lazy to get a job, people that breed just for welfare. If you're a woman, a Mexican, a Muslim, a black, I don't care. If you're anything but a sane white person, they want you as a Democrat. And nowadays, they've actually bred, because of the public school system and what Rockefeller created in the early 1900s, now they have these insane white liberals. We refer to them as snowflakes up here. There's three types of Democrats. You have the elite. These are the people who do rule or want to rule. Now, unfortunately, you have that kind of people also under the Republicans. They only want power, money, sex. They do anything to keep their position secure in all administrations. They'll lie, cheat, steal, murder, bribe, threaten, blackmail, or worse. Then you have the minions. Those are the ones who are hate-filled racists, anarchists, thugs, criminals, who know the evil they do. They know that what they're doing is evil. These people work for the elite, and they're paid well, or they get special benefits. These are professors, teachers, city council members, county commissioners, law enforcement, military. And then you have the useful idiots, as Karl Marx said. These are the ones that do the voting, the rioting, the screaming, the protesting. They're easily led by promises of payments, welfare, food stamps, student loans, other government assistance, or by telling them that the opposition wants to destroy them, wants to push grandma off the cliff, or, you know, the Republicans are evil, blah, blah, blah. These are the majority of the social justice warriors you see on Facebook or Twitter or out in the street screaming. And these are the idiots that get in arguments with anyone who doesn't agree. They are cannon fodder. These are acceptable losses. The Democrats truly believe that everyone is as stupid and successfully propagandized as their useful idiots are. So they no longer feel the need to hide their hate for America. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Saul Alinsky, under Rules for Radicals, a communist that trained the abomination. What you have is the Illuminati and their minions and their useful idiots are afraid that they're losing. They know they're losing because somebody became a president who wasn't part of their group. And that threw everything into a tizzy. And I'm going to read you a list of names. These are not all of them, but these are the original Illuminati. And these are the last names. Bordier, Botton, Clifford, Kutz, Fugger, Goldman Sachs, Hoare, Hottinger, Hochschilder, Medsey, Miles, Montague, Morgan, Oppenheim, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Scali, Samanti, Smith, Solaro, Storozzi, Van de Poot, Van Lashloot, Wallenberg, and Wessler. These are the founders of the Illuminati. So this is why Democrats are the evil that walk on the ground in the United States. And this is the evil that we're going to have. Because they are the deep state. They control the deep state. And they do so in the manner that I just explained to you. And that's why Trump, when I see Trump standing at the podium and there's all these people standing around him, I'm looking at this, deep state, deep state, deep state, deep state, Illuminati, deep state, deep state. We're screwed. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. We've lost America. There's still our freedom left that we're in the process of losing right now. Okay, so let's continue with this category of liberal psychosis. Disney World's going to open up again. They're opening up in July. And they're going to make sure, now this mandatory, that every visitor wears a mask. Now I'm going to tell you something about Disney, all Disney, Disney World, Disney, Disneyland, everywhere in the world. All of the people that work there are sexual psychotics, one way or the other. Disneyland in San Diego area, down south in California, almost everyone that works there is a lesbian. I've had friends that work there, and they bring this information to me, and at first I was astounded at it. Now, we're talking 10, 15 years ago, and I was astounded at it until I started getting verification. And then I started watching what Disney was doing and what they were promoting. Remember what I said, and this is what all communists say. You've got to grab the children. You start with the children. You control the children, and you can propagandize them up to them as being an adult. Guess who owns Pixar? Pixar is this cute little CGI company that makes these really funny little movies. Pixar is owned by Disney. So guess what? It's coming out with a full-blown homosexual movie. Cartoon. It's a cartoon. It's a full-blown one. The guy's a sexual pervert. That's the lead of it. And he has his sexual pervert boyfriend. And it's like that. It's going to be called Out, I think. But this is what Disney's been doing, is making movies with perverts in them. And they always, always go to our children because they want them. And that's what they start with. That's what they do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've all heard crazy state worshippers say things like kids don't belong to their parents.
So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
Now, that would be fine if they stay in their homes with their crazy beliefs and left us alone. But of course, they don't do that. They are intent on forcing, administering a reality that corresponds with their beliefs upon the rest of us, particularly if they can do so under the guise of public health. And so, as we've seen rhetoric emerge from central UN World Health Organization authorities about the need to enter into people's homes and take people from their families.
Due to lockdown, most of the transmission that's actually happened happening in many countries now is happening in the household, at family level. In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
A pretty stunning statement, but again, wouldn't be a big deal if this guy would just sit in his office in the UN and leave everyone else alone. We could just make fun of him. Unfortunately, there are a number of nations, states, municipalities, wherever people can get away with it, that are executing on the agenda that jerks like this are broadcasting. And so people were stunned to hear similar statements echoing from health officials in the days after this guy, from Ventura, California.
We also realize that as we find more contacts, some of the people we find are going to have trouble being isolated. For instance, if they live in a home where there's only one bathroom and there are three or four other people living there and those people don't have COVID infection, we're not going to be able to keep the person in that home. Every person who we're isolating, for instance, needs to have their own bathroom. And so we'll be moving people like this into other kinds of housing that we have available. They'll also have other needs, perhaps, food, whatever it's going to be. The county will be there to back them up and to support them.
And also from Broward County, Florida.
We have to go into family homes, like in some of these, when we're going into some of these homes, and we have to separate an individual to isolate them. They need, you know, we need to make sure that they get care, that they have food, that they have support to be isolated from their home or their family for that 14-day period.
Now, you may have noticed that both of these officials were kind of stumbling through their language there. And in fact, they both used an identical example that some of these isolated individuals, maybe they could use some other help like food, just for example. They both used that same word exactly because, ladies and gentlemen, they are reading from the same script that contains talking points from the World Health Organization, and then it's broadcast out to these municipal people to be read out to start to normalize the total top-down control that is currently being implemented under the guise of public health. And while Ventura County did have to walk down, I have to clarify some of those claims the next couple days when people said, you're out of your mind, you're not coming anywhere near my house or my children. So they did have to issue a clarification statement about that, but it doesn't really matter because the whole agenda continues to roll forward. The CDC in the days thereafter still issued new training materials which indicated the same thing, that individuals, especially children, would need to be quarantined away from their parents in the event that someone was diagnosed positive with some of those faulty tests. Yet even more, when the state of Washington started hiring daycare workers, started posting ads for people to come take care of children who are COVID positive or who are exposed to COVID-19, which means their parents are exposed, and so now we've taken them as the CDC is recommending. So ladies and gentlemen, as it feels like things are calming down, like we're moving the right way directionally, the fear is subsiding, why is this still rolling out right now where we're still hiring people to be watching children who are being quarantined away from their parents, where the CDC is still issuing fresh guidance about this? What has to happen for these preparations to make sense? It caught my eye when Fauci and Rand Paul were talking about reopening, and Fauci made some interesting statements.
We don't know everything about this virus, and we really better be very careful, particularly when it comes to children.
Was that a threat?
Because the more and more we learn, we're seeing things about what this virus can do that we didn't see from the studies in China or in Europe. For example, right now, children presenting with COVID-19, who actually have a very strange inflammatory syndrome, very similar to Kawasaki's syndrome. I think we better be careful if we are not cavalier in thinking that children are completely immune to the deleterious effects.
Now, whether Fauci is actually suggesting that there will be a second recurrence, pandemic 2, as Bill Gates calls it openly, that will affect children in a disproportionately severe way, that would actually necessitate separating them from their parents, some of the language we've read today would no longer seem as extreme. We can leave that in the realm of high-octane speculation. We can't really say what they have in store for us. I don't even know that they need a biological agent to achieve that kind of thing. We've seen pretty clearly at this point that all the nanny state needs to take total control is to brainwash their cult of fear, and that's just completely effective. It's stunning. It's disappointing. One thing we can say is that it would not be the first time that the state has abused its ability to take children from their parents, especially in the context of political dissidents. In fact, in the Argentinian Dirty War, there were hundreds of children that were taken from opposition leaders in order to silence them, to get them to stop fighting the government. It's the fastest, one of the most effective ways to silence your political opposition. Kill them off or take their children. These are the things that hopefully we will never see any of that in the United States. Oh, actually, it's already happened. Governor Kate Brown from Oregon wasted no time in enlisting the support of CPS, Child Protective Services, to help send a strong message to the salon owner who opened her business just last week. When she opened up, her kids were met with a CPS worker in their home who separated the children from their parents and then proceeded to interrogate them. This is a nightmare for any parent to have the state come and forcibly take someone's child and talk to them without your knowledge. This is disgusting. Governor Brown needs to be removed. So does Inslee. So does Newsom. So does Cuomo. All of these people are absolutely openly tyrants at this point, and we cannot tolerate this. I do not like the way that these signs indicate we're going.
Now, I'm going to tell you, a few years back, probably a little over 10 years back up here in North Idaho, there was a family that they had 20 acres. They built their own little cabin up there. They lived up there. They had two children. They were about 10 years old. They were both homeschooled. And the state decided that the parents didn't know what was best for their children because they refused to get them vaccinated. So they drummed up all kinds of crap and lies about them, just like the deep state did for Randy Weaver. And they ended up, the father ended up getting arrested. The mother and the children disappeared. And the state came in and stole the property. Well, they got good lawyers and everything, and one thing led to another, and the state lost. So they're back up there, and they're doing what they're always doing. But this is what the government does. And there's a lot of information out there on the web about how this happens, why it can happen. But you and me, we can say no. And that's the key that I grew up with. I can say no, and bullies back down. Generally, sometimes you got to whop them up alongside the head, but most of the time you just got to stand up and say no. All right, we're still under the liberal psychosis. San Francisco is opening, you're going to love this, they opened a homeless camp, okay, and it's a, they sanctioned it, it's proper, it's what they've decided is the best way to have a homeless camp, and right outside of City Hall. See, San Francisco is a crap hole. You don't ever want to go there. 20 years ago, I went there for business, and I didn't want to be there then. But I have a picture of it. I have a link. You can go to it, and you can look at it, and you can look at that, and you go, holy crap. So they have little tents, and they have squares drawn out, so the tents can go on them in this giant, this mall kind of like in front of City Hall in San Francisco. You could probably put 5,000 people on this area, and they have 100 tents. This is what liberals do. So I read you a statement that Karl Marx made. Accuse your enemy of what you're doing as you are doing it to create confusion. Well, that's what the Democrats did when Trump was elected. They started claiming that he did a quid pro quo, meaning you do this and I'll give you this. Well, the data came out that Biden did that. That's what he did. Sure, we knew that he had done it. And that he had bragged about doing it on an interview, but a copy of the telephone call between one of the guys in Ukraine and Biden proved that Biden did it. You know, this is nothing new. Every conservative for the past 100 years knew that Democrats were evil. In fact, Ronald Reagan even warned us about him.
Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
Give us more authority and more ability.
For all of this talk about rules, we make them up as we go along.
A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And government. They know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose.
Put the legislation together to control the people.
We go through the gate, the gate's closed, we'll go over the fence is too high, we'll pole vault in. If that doesn't work, we'll parachute in, but we're going to get health care reform passed.
They also knew, those founding fathers, that outside of its legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy.
There needs to be a focus on an immediate increase in spending.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
The more the plans fail, the more the planners plan.
You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
We have so many people who can't see a fat man standing beside a thin one without coming to the conclusion the fat man got that way by taking advantage of the thin one.
I think there are a lot of very rich people out there whom we can tax at a point down the road and recover some of this money.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
They'll be crying out for public options.
It's the cost, I think, of having the kind of America that we want to have.
Our natural unalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp as it is at this moment.
I don't worry about the Constitution on this, to be honest.
What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages?
You have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Those voices don't speak for the rest of us. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth.
There have been times where America's shown arrogance.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
So these deep state communists are really concerned right now about you and me and what we're going to do and say, because this pandemic hoax didn't work. Now they have created a whole new thing, and it's a racism thing, and it's the video, and I'm sure most of you have seen this, of a white police officer kneeling on the neck of a black man. Now, after 9 minutes, backup came, and they picked the guy up, and they put him in a police car, and they took him to the hospital, and he was pronounced dead at the hospital. Now, here's something I just don't understand. There were 20 or 30 other black people and white people and brown people in this area. There were only 4 police officers that were holding this man. Why didn't anybody do anything? Nowadays, because of the stupidity of millennials, all they do is hold the cell phone up and video it, instead of having the balls to step up and say, don't, you're probably hurting him. Anyway, regardless of that, the concept is, and there's no verification yet, that this killed this man. So instantly what happened was the savages in Minneapolis and other areas that are Democrat controlled started rioting and burning stores down and doing all kinds of things. And my grandpa used to tell me, he said, you know, I hate it when the Giants win in San Francisco. I said, why? Because people are going to riot. And I go, what if they lose? He goes, oh, they're going to riot anyway. They just need different excuses. What's happening is these savages are rioting. Now, that's the apparency. The apparency, meaning that which it seems to be real, is that the blacks are rioting in all throughout the United States. On DrudgeReport.com this morning. Now, Drudge Report used to be a conservative website. It's now owned by the Chinese. So, in other words, communists are in charge of it. And they're doing everything they can to fuel hatred for America. So, what you see, top headlines, America in chaos. Well, it should say any city that's controlled and ran by communists or Democrats is having problems with blacks. Well, that's what it is. It's not happening. It won't happen up here. It won't happen anywhere where there are conservatives. It only is happening where Democrats are controlling the area. And there is so much data out there. I'm not going to go into it. I just read a whole write-up on factual, firsthand information, what they're finding in all of these rioting areas. They're finding piles of bricks stacked there. They're finding weapons. I don't mean guns. I mean clubs and knives, and they're stacked for these rioters. They're finding food. They're finding water and milk so they can wash the tear gas out of their eyes. They're finding masks that they can put on. They're finding all kinds of stuff. They're finding instructions on how to riot. So this is obviously not being done just automatically. This is all a setup, and it's being done because we're not falling for the pandemic hoax. So now the powers that be are hoping to start some kind of a civil war. And then the poverty pimps are out there saying, well, us blacks have had enough of this stuff and we're going to have a revolution. You know, I hate to tell you this, but if you really want a revolution, you're going to have to go and invade areas that are predominantly white. There's only one problem with that, is you probably won't be leaving that area by morning time because you won't be alive. It's that simple. So I don't know what's going on, but I can tell you all, and I'm warning you, this is another trap. This is what they want us to do. They're going to push it harder and harder because they know that their nominee is not going to win. In fact, I don't know if he's even going to be alive during the election period. You know, the Democrats, all they have is what I call Wacko Joe.
We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. And so, folks, if you're interested, join me. I could use the help.
I love listening to him talk. He's such a maroon. All right, now we're going to get into government threat. Unfortunately, getting to be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The first article is, you know that Governor Cuomo in New York ordered all of the nursing homes to start taking old folks who tested positive for COVID. And then, of course, other Democrats, and I mean Democrats, started copying him throughout the United States. Well, here's what happened before that. Just before that, he granted immunity to nursing homes. Of course, he was given millions of dollars from all of these as campaign donations, and he granted them all immunity. So they're not liable for your mother, father, grandfather, grandmother dying in a nursing home because he was evil. He is evil. And the New York Health website actually removed the order that Cuomo had posted there about putting people in there. And I've talked about this. It's not the virus that has caused this. It is us. It is the government. There's no disease out there that said, you can't work, you can't play. It's the government and us agreeing with it.
So the media keeps lamenting how COVID-19 has caused economic devastation and other social problems, but that is a total lie. A virus didn't screw up everything. The government did.
And no doubt they're going to continue their dishonest spin of 30 million unemployed due to pandemic. Not at all. The unemployment was entirely the result of government forcing idiotic solutions onto us, including the shutdowns and the stay-at-home orders and all manner of other stupidity.
It wasn't a virus that caused an avalanche of economic and social disasters. It was Governor Whitmer and Governor Newsom and Governor Ducey and Governor Cuomo.
And the massive jumps in suicide rates, which we've already seen and we're going to keep seeing, they're not from a sickness. They're from the dictatorial decrees from Governor Wolf and Governor Murphy and Governor DeSantis and dozens more.
When the media blames the dramatic increases in depression and alcohol abuse and overdose on coronavirus, don't let that slide. It was government orders and restrictions that did that.
And when you learn about the rising incidence of domestic violence and child abuse, don't let the talking heads on TV tell you that some disease did that. Government caused that.
And both parties of political parasites did it. This was never about compassion and helping. This was about politicians doing what politicians always do. Use fear to grab more control. Control over you. And they didn't care how many lives their power grab would destroy.
And I hope you were paying attention to who was doing their bidding. So much totalitarian garbage has been attempted that even a bunch of their own enforcers, cops and sheriffs and such, have openly refused to participate.
But a hell of a lot of the badge wearers continue to be mindless, order-obeying fascists, enforcing blatantly unconstitutional, illegal, counterproductive, and insane commands.
The ones who are still just following orders and just doing their job obviously don't give a damn about protecting and serving you. They are there to protect and serve the ruling class and to force you to go along with whatever the politicians decide to command you to do.
Millions of lives have been destroyed in the past couple of months, and it was the people in power and their unthinking enforcers, not some little virus, that made that happen.
And no doubt when everyone starts to see the real cost of this totalitarian idiocy, those in power will insist that things would have been even worse if they hadn't all suddenly acted like dictators. And that's a complete and utter lie. And soon everyone is going to know that the government's solutions are going to cause more harm, suffering, and death than the virus ever could have.
Those who saw this as an opportunity to increase their power, to ruin your financial life, and to try to buy your loyalty with free money, those people have earned your hatred and contempt. Not the people who just want to get back to providing for their families.
And when the full scale of this damage that they have done becomes too obvious for anyone to ignore, you remember who did this. You remember who forced this on us.
And that is the problem. When those in power get it wrong, whether they have some devious self-serving agenda or they're just incompetent, either way, they use their supposed authority to force you to do the wrong thing. They don't let you make the choices for yourself. They make you suffer for their errors.
And because they pretend to have the right to rule you, when their solutions create a complete catastrophe, they just say, oops, looks like we got it wrong. They think you'll just forget about it and let it slide. Don't forget whose commands have destroyed so many lives in the U.S. and around the world. And don't forget who it was who enforced those commands.
And if you think the solution is to vote for a different ruler next time, then you totally miss the point. If you let anyone have authority over your life, if you let anyone make your decisions, your choices for you, if you treat anyone as if they are your rightful lord and master and have the right to treat you this way, then sooner or later, this is the outcome you'll get.
In between all the authoritarian crap and economic and social destruction, a whole lot of people are finally coming to realize that if you want to be pro-freedom and pro-justice, you have to be anti-government.
And we're not talking about the pointless, wishy-washy political circus where everyone bickers over which opportunistic crook is going to be on the throne next. You either own yourself, and no one has the right to treat you this way or to control you this way, or you are a slave. Arguing over whose slave you want to be is never going to make you free.
And if these megalomaniac crooks and their mindless enforcers keep treating you like this and you let them get away with it and you just quietly comply and obey, then expect things to keep getting worse. But if that's not good enough for you, it's time to disobey and resist.
Now, unfortunately, we on Earth, we have too many people who are willing sheeple, and they'll do whatever they're told to do because, well, authority figures told them to do that, and so they believe everything that they're told. And what's happening now, and I mentioned this before, is that individual government agencies, such as, well, anything that has to do with Democrats, have been asking the local population to snitch on people. In Missouri, they did that. They said, here, just call up this phone number here and snitch on somebody who's not social distancing or any of that other hogwash. And people did. And then the government posted their name and phone numbers. So there was 900 people in Missouri that were snitched. I mean, they were snitches. And they got outed, so to speak. But it's the strangest thing. And this phenomenon I have seen all over the world. The government walks up and says, hi, I'm with the government. I'm here to slit your throat. Give me your knife, please. And the person will hand them their knife. You know, the Ring doorbell, right? I did an article on this and I explained it. And I said that the Ring doorbell is giving thousands of those doorbells to police departments all through the United States for free, as long as they sign up people to be part of a big program that can watch, where the cops can actually watch everything that's happening through their doorbells. Well, they don't need that now. They actually have apps for that.
Tonight, several local law enforcement agencies are joining forces asking for your help in preventing crimes and trying to solve those crimes.
They say all you need to do is download an app. 13 News Now reporter Nico Clemens explains what Nextdoor is and how it can help police help you.
Local law enforcement are searching for a few more eyes and ears on the streets, and they say you can help. The Newport News Police Department, Hampton Police Division, and York-Pocosin Sheriff's Office are all having success using the Nextdoor app. They're now encouraging you at home to join.
And we can sort by what kind of crime, when it happened.
It's a private social network for neighborhoods. The app allows you to communicate with your neighbors and find out what's going on next door.
Yeah, this is one that's becoming really popular. Did I just hear gunshots?
Christy Dealey lives in the Minchville section of Newport News. She started using the app about 4 years ago.
And Newport News is very active on Nextdoor. They post all the time.
Dealey says police keep them informed about so much, whether it's about recent crimes or just sharing safety tips. She says the app also helped recently during a couple break-ins.
People are able to start working together. People asking, hey, I saw that vehicle or I saw those people.
Since November 2014, the number of people using Nextdoor in Newport News, Hampton, and York-Pocosin has grown by nearly 700%.
There are stories from across the country of increasing neighborhood watch participation.
Almost 40,000 people use Nextdoor among the three jurisdictions, and a good chunk of them say they feel more informed since Newport News, Hampton, and York-Pocosin started using the app to communicate with the community.
Or they may say, hey, folks, listen, we're seeing an increase in this crime in your neighborhood. You know, we're doing these three things, but we really need you to lock your doors.
Many, like Dealey, are happy to provide a few extra eyes and ears.
You can talk with them about things that are bothering you about your neighborhood or the city, and they can talk with you about the things that they're doing to address those issues.
Because at the end of the day, they're making their neighborhood a better place to live.
Now, remember, we're under the category government threat, so there's going to be various different things. You know, you can download and save books and stuff on the cloud, meaning somebody, the definition of cloud is somebody else's hard drive. And if somebody else has the hard drive, then they have control over everything you put on there. And they can edit it. They can put things on, they can take things off, and you most of the time won't even know it. Remember, I played this excerpt from a doctor, and it's part of a movie called Plandemic. Well, somebody downloaded that and saved it on their Google Drive. Well, Google Drive said, well, that's not acceptable. Now, Google Drive is part of the powers that be, the Illuminati, the controllers. So it just simply deletes it. And that's what's happening. That's the airlines, not all of them, but a lot of them are going to start requiring digital IDs to fly. Why, it makes it so much easier than having to go through the TSA checkpoint, don't you think? Digital IDs. You know, some places, some airports, you walk in and you stick your face in front of a screen and push a button. It takes a picture of you. It automatically knows your whole history, including your Facebook, Twitter account. It also knows your credit cards. It knows your boarding pass. It knows all of your information because you've given it to them. Can you believe that? In the UK, they have what's called a COVID pass coming. It'll be an app that goes onto your cell phone. And it's going to keep you up informed whether you have a temperature. It's going to inform the law enforcement all over the area whether or not you've had a disease or have it now. And you're going to, it's just like in China. You know, China has a green light, red light thing now on your phone. You walk up to a building, you push a button on your phone, and you're given a red light or green light. You can go in or you can't go in. The UK is doing the exact same thing. Now, speaking of Democrats, another bill came out that is just typically disgusting, like all bills that Democrats put out, and this is H.R. 5717, or innocuously titled Gun Violence Prevention and Community Safety Act of 2020. This is all Democrats, okay, 100%. And when I say all, I mean all. Here's what this bill, it's an all-encompassing bill. Requires individuals to obtain a license to purchase, acquire, or possess firearms or ammunition. Raises the minimum age from 18 to 21 to buy a gun or ammunition. Establishes new background check requirements for firearm transfers between private parties. Not just selling, transfers. So let's say I want my son wants to use my .30-06. I go, sure, here. Well, I can't do that. I have to do a transfer for that. requires law enforcement agencies to be notified following a firearms-related background check that results in a denial. Let's see. It restricts the import, sale, manufacture, transfer, or possession of semi-automatic weapons and large-capacity feeding devices. Restricts the manufacture, sale, transfer, purchase, or receipt of ghost guns, i.e. guns without serial numbers. Makes trafficking in firearms a standalone criminal offense. What is trafficking in firearms? Let's say you go to a gun show and you got 10 guns. And you're at the gun show. You just want to get rid of them. And you sell them. You're a trafficker in firearms. Requires federally licensed gun dealers to submit annually certification compliance with security plan. Removes limitations on the civil liabilities of gun manufacturers. So if you got some psychotic Democrat, and all of them are Democrats. Every single one of these major shootings, mass shootings in the world are either Democrats, communists, or socialists. So you got this commie who does a mass shooting, and he gets a lawyer and says, no, you can't blame yourself. You have no soul. Without a soul, you can't be responsible. So we're going to blame Remington. And it allows the Consumer Product Safety Commission to issue safety standards for firearms. Establishes a community violence intervention grant program, promotes research on firearm safety and gun violence prevention. In other words, it's a standard crap that these communists have been trying to push through for decades. Here's another thing. The abomination and the Clinton Ninth, we all know the and love the Ninth Circuit judges. Well, they decided that the Bill of Rights and the Constitution shall be suspended during this pandemic. There still is not enough conservatives on the Ninth Circuit, so the communists are totally in charge of it. And the Ninth Circuit came out and they said constitutional standards that would normally govern our review of a free exercise claim should not be applied. So in other words, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States is suspended, according to the Democrats anyway. Now there's I watched the 700 Club one day, and I saw an interview with a guy who had worked for the NSA, National Security Agency, for 30 years, I think it was, and he was interviewed. You've got to hear this interview, and it's what I've been saying and what everybody's been saying is the goal of the deep state is 100% population control.
Total population control. Bill Binney says that's what the National Security Agency wants. He should know. He was technical director of that agency and worked there for more than 30 years. He became one of their top analysts, perhaps the best code breaker in America, before he resigns because of their domestic spying programs. He's with us now from Washington. Bill, thank you so much for being with us. We're glad to see you.
Well, thanks for having me, Pat.
How big is this apparatus of the NSA? We hear about it, but you know firsthand.
I think there are about 40,000 people working at Fort Meade at NSA headquarters, close to 40,000. And then they have facilities all around the world, plus a number of contractors also associated, one probably on the order of 100,000, I would think, to 200,000 that work for them directly. So it's a rather large operation. I mean, it's between $10 and $15 billion a year that they spend on it ever since 9/11. So that's quite a bit of money they're investing in it.
How much data can they acquire? Is there any limit to it?
Actually, the only limit is in terms of money, power, availability, and space to stack equipment to go and collect the material.
Now, you've said that the ultimate goal is total population control. In a democracy, that is really scary business.
It's actually a totalitarian process that's been used down through history. I mean, that's what totalitarian dictators, states, that's what they want to do. They want to know everything about the population so they can control it. That was the idea behind the Soviet Union, the East German Stasi. That was their idea, and the Gestapo and the SS, and down through history, many others.
Is our stuff more powerful than those agencies you mentioned?
Yeah, unfortunately it is. When you're looking at electronic activity of individuals, like when you use your credit card or when you make a phone call or email anybody on the internet or do chatter on the internet, that can be monitored in near real time if they're necessary. Otherwise, they can capture it, collect it, store it, and then retroactively analyze it. So it provides the opportunity to monitor everybody in the country, in fact, most everybody in the world, in near real time throughout the day. today, and that's really 1984 on steroids, really.
All right, let's take Mrs. Joe Average living in Topeka, Kansas, and she goes to the store and buys something with a credit card. NSA's got that right then?
They have electronic data. They'll collect financial act transactions, sure.
She calls her friend Myrtle down the street. That phone is monitored, that call?
Not all of them, but a good many of them are recorded. Certainly all of the fact that she made that call is recorded and stored and what we call graph, that is building relationships. That's one of the real problems here. This is a violation of your First Amendment rights. Under the Constitution, you have the right to assemble, free assembly, mm-hmm. which means that it doesn't say you have the right to free assembly as long as the government knows about it, which is what's happening when the telecommunications companies turn over all their records of phone calls to and from with duration. That tells them everybody you're contacting, your whole social network on the phone, because it's a simple matter of doing a reverse lookup to see who that is that you're calling.
You quit the agency because you said what they were doing is unconstitutional. Could you? That is clearly unconstitutional, but why does the government keep on doing it?
The reason I've been able to, at least from what I can see in the public domain, is they're doing it for law enforcement worldwide, and actually the main users of this data are in fact the FBI and the Drug Enforcement Administration and other law enforcement agencies in the country, and they use this data to find criminal activity, and then they go arrest people based on this information. Then they have to do a parallel construction, which means they use normal policing techniques that they would be expected to use to find evidence that would justify and show probable cause for an arrest. Then they substitute that for the NSA data in the courts. That's one of the things that happened in challenging that process was one of the lawsuits was Amnesty International versus Clapper, and that made it to the Supreme Court. And the only way they got rid of that was to basically lie to the Supreme Court and say that, well, if anybody had any of this data used against them in the court of law or anything, that the defendants would be told. And that was simply a lie. Nobody has been told to date.
When I think of this, it's just horrible, but do they give this information to the IRS?
That's the other problem. The Drug Enforcement Administration has a special unit, the Special Operations Division, the SOD. That division is supposed to, its primary purpose is to look into the NSA data to find criminality and criminal activity. The members of that are the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, of course DEA, DHS, and the IRS. Now that means that the IRS has access to all the data of the social networks of everybody in the country, because NSA builds those in the databases that they have from the billing data or the contact data that's provided by the telecommunications companies. So this, in effect, allows them, if they're interested in stopping anybody getting a 501c3 application in for tax-exempt status for, say, someone in the Tea Party or the Occupy group or any religious group attempting to get 501c3 or tax-exempt status, they could look into that map graph relationships and see if you're a part of any organization that they perhaps want to stonewall or slow roll and prevent from becoming politically active. And that's what's been going on. They've had access to this data. One person was testifying in the House and Judiciary Committee, I believe it was, about some of the questions they were being asked by the IRS. And one of the questions that was asked that gave me the idea that they were using this information was this one person was asked, what is their relationship with another person? It was a specific name. Well, the question I had was not what was their relationship, but how did the IRS know about that relationship? The only way I could think of that they would know was through this access to the data at NSA, which is where all that information is mapped out.
So what you're saying is the NSA slips this stuff to them, they read it, get a clue, and then they go through their normal procedures and act like they didn't get the information, but they got it from another source, so they pull the wool over Congress.
And they also use that in court, which means, in my sense, that means they're perjuring themselves in court. So I call that a planned program perjury policy run by the Department of Justice of the United States.
I'm horrified at all this, and I'm sure the average American, you know, most of the congressmen they come out of neighborhoods and they're elected by the people. Do you think Congress has even a clue as to what you're talking about?
probably not a complete clue, but I think that that's part of the reason that Representatives Amash and Conyers got a coalition of members of the House to try to unfund NSA's activity last year. They almost made it by about 12 votes. They lost 12 by 12 votes, but they came pretty close for a first try. So there is a move in Congress to limit and stop this, and it really is all of this activity. It's unconstitutional under the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments. The First, because they're giving your associations and everything. The government is collecting that data. The Fourth, because they're looking at the content. It's not just metadata that they're collecting. It's content also. And the Fifth, because they're using the content of data that you pass between your friends and neighbors and use that against you in a court of law. That's a violation of the Fifth Amendment. You can claim the Fifth Amendment not to testify against yourself. Well, that's a violation of that, too.
How come some little guy didn't come after you in the middle of the night?
They have, actually. they sent the FBI at me in 2007 and tried to intimidate me to stay quiet.
What about Snowden? Is he a traitor or a hero?
I looked at him as doing an absolute public service, not just to the people of this country, but to the world, because he produced evidence that's irrefutable by our government. That's the crimes against the Constitution and the laws that we had over time anyway. So that was irrefutable evidence of what they were doing. And so they cannot deny it now.
What kind of megalomaniac would want to do something like this? Is monstrous. And these guys, I mean, where does the mindset come from that devises all this stuff?
Well, that's what I objected to and why I left NSA early on back in 2001, because I saw this coming. I mean, I had worked the Soviet Union problem for almost 30 years, and it was very clear to me that in October of 2001, the NSA and the government, the U.S. government, started adopting the procedures and techniques and processes that the Soviet Union and the Stasi and all of the countries behind the Iron Curtain were using. So we were actually adopting their procedures. It was very clear to me that that was what was going on.
All right, last question. The average person doesn't have a vestige of knowledge of what you're talking about. They just trust their government. What are we going to do?
Let me say something about that first. That's really the problem here in this country. You see, what I see is we have not had a dictator in this country since George III for almost 240 years. So we've been very comfortable over those 240 years, at least kind of depending on our government to do the right thing. And that's what we've all been accustomed to them doing. That is, we trust them and have trusted them for a long time. And so we don't have that knowledge of what dictators and dictatorial processes are. But if you look at it, the Germans today are the ones who are really upset about this. And the reason they're upset is because they've got living memory of the Stasi and living memory of the SS and Gestapo. So they're very familiar with these techniques and procedures, and that's why they're very upset. To me, I think the only way we can get out of this is to fire everybody in D.C. You have to go out and vote. You have to get active. You can't stay quiet and let this happen. You have to stand up and oppose it.
In other words, like I said, you have to stand up and say no. I had mentioned about these tracking apps that are going to be put on your cell phones, Android phones, Apple phones. Well, I was wrong. They're not going to be put. They're on your phone and you don't even know it. Unbeknownst to you, Android and Apple did a covert update on your cell phone, and you can check your phone and you can see what's been added. You can find this. It's a framework. It's the framework. It's not the actual app yet. It's the framework of the app. This is a tracking app. This is exactly the green light, red light thing from China. This should prove to you that the Illuminati have the same ideas and concepts all over the world, and they're using them all over the world, and they're using them in the United States now, because we have been proven that we're weak and cowardly and won't stand up. So you check your cell phone and you will probably find that it has already been installed. Now, if you have a flip phone or if you have an old style with a smartphone, I guess, I think before 4.2 on the Android, then it's not downloaded and you'll have to make a special effort to download it. But as it is now, you already have it on your phone, the foundation, not the actual app. It's not working yet, but the foundation is already there. Now, a lot of you have been paying attention to QAnon. Okay. I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to say for those of you who've been paying attention to Q, it's been reported, and the owner, the guy that started it, came out and said it's a hoax. The only reason I did it, and the only reason it's still functioning now, is because we make money from it. And unfortunately, this is another one of those, this is another thing that people get their attention on, and they believe it. I'm not going to name names, but I have friends of mine that I will say, you know what, you got to stop licking the sharp edge of a knife, because that's why you're cutting your tongue. And they will ignore me, and they'll continue cutting their tongue. And then someday, some expert on Facebook, some doctor will say, by the way, you know, if you lick the sharp edge of a knife, you can cut your tongue. And this person will come to me and goes, oh my God, a revelation. I just discovered that if I lick the edge of a sharp knife, I can cut my tongue. They don't listen to me, but they'll listen to some idiot on the internet. Well, unfortunately, that's a lot of people. A lot of people will go on Facebook and somebody will post some article, and all of a sudden their life changes because they believe everything that article said, and that must be gospel. And that's the same thing that it's not just on for Democrats, it's also conservatives. They go on like Drudge Report. The reason Drudge Report was bought and is now controlled by the communist Chinese is because so many people believed everything that they saw on it. So now it's being used to apply propaganda. But, you know, they're just people in the United States, and it's not just the United States, it's all over the world, are so willing to just believe everything that they're told.
People are freaking out right now. Like, they're tired of having their constitutional rights taken away with a mandatory stay-at-home orders. Cities are suing the California governor so their people can go back onto their beaches again. Idiots. Like, I'll stay at home for the rest of my life if they tell me to. Who knows how to make the best choices for my health and my life? Definitely not me. So I'm more than happy to put my blind trust in power-hungry politicians and definitely uncorrupt groups like the World Health Organization. I think they know what's best for me, because, like, they know me better than I know me. The last thing you want is people to have the freedom to make their own choices and then experience the consequences of their choices. I think free will is a little bit of a sin. I don't think we should have it in the first place. Like, you wouldn't give a razor blade to a 3-year-old because it wouldn't be in their best interest. So you shouldn't give freedom to people either. All these Americans that want their freedoms are just ungrateful. I say, if you don't like how things are going and you just want your freedom, then why don't you move to a free country like North Korea or Venezuela? I 100% buy into the narrative they tell me. I think it's ludicrous some people don't 100% believe the narrative like it's the absolute truth. Why wouldn't you? Think about it. If you were in charge of a giant, powerful business that pretends it's a charity like the World Health Organization, you wouldn't spend your time carefully crafting your message to manufacture consent with the public to get them to go along with your mysterious agenda that's in your best interest that you tell them is in their best interest. You'd probably just get up to the podium and have a spontaneous conversation and see what comes out of your mouth while you're riffing. I think that's what they're doing. I also find the more scared I am, the more unwilling I am to believe anything other than the original narrative that they told me that they're still telling me, even when new, more accurate information emerges. Like when USC did research in LA County a few weeks ago and showed the amount of people infected with COVID-19 is 28 to 55 times more than we originally thought. Yep, because most of these people don't have symptoms, it suggests the infection is far less dangerous than we originally thought. And in contrast to the original guesstimation of a death rate of 4.5% in COVID cases, the LA County Health Department says the new research suggests the actual death rate in COVID cases is between 0.1 and 0.2%. That means the actual death rate in COVID-19 cases is 22.5% to 45 times less deadly than we were originally told. But this new scientific data is irrelevant to me because it's like I already made up my mind when I was the most frightened, and I'm going to keep believing what makes me the most frightened because it just feels more congruent in my being that way. I'll also spend a lot of time looking for information that they shove in my face that confirms my existing beliefs. There's nothing like a little confirmation bias to help my mind continue to learn and expand. I'm also really good at believing the COVID death count, as anyone who is diagnosed with COVID-19 and then dies irregardless of what they die from, pre-existing condition or otherwise, their death is labeled a COVID death. Makes sense to me. Instead of letting the doctor who is treating the patient use their medical education to determine the cause of death, I think the mandate to label it a COVID death is more accurate. And it helps the COVID death count get higher than it is. And the higher it is, the more scared I am. And the more scared I am, the more obedient I am. Yes, I would like a mandatory vaccine. I'm scared enough that I think more things should be mandatory. Sometimes the best medicine is like the best sex. Non-consensual. They work on the same premise. But I'll tell you this, those vaccines better be brought to market without long-term human trials. And I think it will be. It's better that way because the long-term trials that prove a vaccine's safety and effectiveness are pretty arrogant. It's just like, let's spend years rubbing it in your face how great this thing is. I say it's better to just be humble and forgo that bragging period. It's pretty well proven that being proactive and taking care of your health won't keep you healthy. Our only hope is in the pharmaceutical companies protecting us. They have a very good track record of never harming anyone, so I sleep pretty good at night. I'm also kind of asleep right now. And yes, I would like to be microchipped, as long as they tell me it's for my own good. I apologize if I'm being a little too greedy here, but I'd like 2 microchips, please. To keep me extra safe. Or maybe we should just do a baby step and use mandatory tracking apps on our phone first to keep us safe, and then go to the microchips. I think that's probably the way to go. I'll tell you who I trust more than God, Bill Gates, because he's got more money than God. Money can't buy happiness, but it can definitely buy my trust. I accurately look at Bill Gates as a medical authority when it comes to vaccines and being undiseased because he's a software engineer, not a doctor. He doesn't have a medical degree or any other degree for that matter, which means he's not part of the corrupt medical system because he doesn't have any medical training, which means he knows more about medicine than medical professionals. Like when my child's sick, I don't take him to a doctor. I take him to the Apple store to have a computer engineer take a look at him. I'm not an idiot. Bill not only has my trust because he wears sweaters over collared shirts, but also because of how he found the path of altruism that he's on. Think about his journey. In 1999, he was sued by the federal government and found guilty of breaking antitrust laws because he created a monopoly with Microsoft, presumably because he's so power-hungry for control and domination. Then the very next year, in 2000, he founded the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which now controls the World Health Organization, which is spearheading the charge to narrate to us what's going on with the coronavirus and the race to find a vaccine to cure it. He miraculously switched from being such a power-hungry Microsoft overlord breaking laws to the extent that the U.S. government had to sue him, to just 1 year later with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation being such a shining example of altruism that he selflessly cared so much that he made it his mission to rid the world of disease with vaccines. Sounds like he found Jesus to me. There's no other explanation. Oh, and get this. This one time, a friend of mine who's obviously a conspiracy theorist who needs to be medicated had this outrageous theory that after he was found guilty in 1999 of breaking antitrust laws, Bill Gates realized that Microsoft could no longer be the vehicle that he used to gain more power and control, so he founded the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation the next year to be the new vehicle for him to gain more power and control. And he even said Bill is smart enough to make the vehicle appear as though he's using it to help the world, even though he's just using it to take over more of the world, which would make the world help him take more of their power and control. So crazy. I was like, bro, he's not that smart. He's a billionaire, not a trillionaire. The mainstream narrative helps me classify anyone that doesn't go along with its narrative as an irresponsible lunatic conspiracy theorist. That way I can label them as crazy rather than thinking about what they're saying. My friend's a crazy lunatic.
I saw that. It's a dramatization of what I just said, but I think it struck home. All right, now we're going to get into the Trump category. On May 18th, Trump sent a letter to the head of the World Health Organization. This guy, he's not a doctor. He knows nothing at all about health, other than the fact he was put in there by the communist Chinese. And in it, he just basically says that, you know, you guys screwed up, you lied, you left out information, you didn't tell us, didn't tell the world info when we should have had this information, and that because of that, people died. So he said, look, if you don't get your act together real fast, then I am going to cease funding the World Health Organization. May 18th, 2020. World Health Organization has kept lying and lying and lying and making up more stuff and claiming that China has done everything perfectly. Finally, Trump had enough. And he came out, it was on the, he came out on the 29th and said, that's it, we're done. We're out of the World Health Organization. Now, another thing happened this week was that Trump was tweeting out or whatever the hell it's called, about how if we go into this mail-in balloting, it's going to be nothing but fraud, and the Democrats are doing nothing but trying to steal the election that's coming up. And Twitter corrected him and warned people that what he said is not right. Fact-checked him or some such crap. Well, guess what? He got fed up, and that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. He signed an executive order, and what this executive order does, it basically request that all departments within the United States government, including the Department of Justice, to start monitoring Twitter, Facebook, Google, all of the big tech companies, and see exactly what can be done to put them in line so that they stop censoring conservatives. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com on the left-hand side, you will see show notes. And you can go there for this date, and you will see these executive orders. Executive order on preventing online censorship. And this was on May 28th, Trump signed this. I'll have a copy of that there. You can go poke around and look at. And these mail-in ballots, and the Democrats are saying there's no such thing as balloting fraud. That's never happened. They found a whole bunch of South Carolina election ballots found in Maryland. They find them all over the time. Up here in Idaho, some years back, they found two boxes of ballots from people putting their ballots in the ballot box, and the person who's supposed to count those sort of left them in his garage. I talked about this thing that the Democrats are doing in the socialist band of the United States. Now, when I say band, socialist band, I'm talking about the West Coast. Washington, Oregon, and California is pure socialist country. Years ago, all of these governors, all Democrats, of course, passed laws called motor voter laws. When you go in and get your driver's license, you're registered automatically to vote. Okay? They're doing that as a favor to you. Because, you know, you work or you're on welfare and just don't have time or the inclination or the urge or the ability to get off your butt and go register to vote. So they figured, well, you know, when you get your driver's license, hey, we'll register for you. They did. People complained about that and said, you know, I don't know. That's not a good thing. There could be some possible problems with that down the road. And all the Democrats said, no. You're just a Republican. You hate people. You don't want people to vote. You don't want blacks to vote. That's it. Then, and this is about 10 years later, Washington, Oregon, California decided to start giving driver's licenses to criminal aliens. Well, these Mexicans, they drive, and if we give them a driver's license, then they'll have to get insurance, right? That was the argument. What happens when you get a driver's license in Washington, Oregon, and California? You also get registered to vote. And of course, the Democrats are saying, well, there's nothing wrong can happen with that. There's no problem with that. Well, this woman comes in Oregon. She comes forward and she says, look, I'm not an illegal alien. I'm a non-citizen. I'm not even a citizen of the United States, right? I'm here for work, but I got a driver's license. And then all of a sudden, I start getting ballots in the mail, and they don't want me to return them. Everything the Democrats say is a lie. They're playing the long game and setting it up for the future to commit crimes and, as far as I'm concerned, treason. Okay, now I don't know if you guys have noticed it yet, but the weather's calming down. Summer kind of is being here. I mean, today up here it's 90 degrees. Of course, we have severe thunderstorms hitting here tonight, 60-mile-an-hour winds. Don't leave your animals outside. They might get fried by lightning, that kind of thing. But it's yard sale season. So guess what? We're going to talk about yard sales. We're going to talk about how you give a yard sale and how you act at a yard sale. Yard sales are the best source of stuff for a prepper, a survivalist, a pack rat. I don't care what word you want to use, but I'm telling you, the best deals in the world are at yard sales. We have people in Northern Idaho here. We have people that fly here from San Francisco and Los Angeles for the yard sales. I'm not exaggerating. They come here because this is an old part of the world. People come here and they look for old furniture, old clothing. Believe it or not, I was at a yard sale yesterday. Now, of course, we're all supposed to be locked down, right? In Northern Idaho, there isn't anybody with enough stupidity to try and enforce any kind of lockdown. But everybody's careful, right? We're all keeping the distance of a dollar bill between each other, so we don't have to worry about it, about getting diseases and rotting, you know, while we're just walking around looking at stuff. So, yard sales. There's a few rules. Now, I got to break this up into two parts. One, as a customer, and two, as a guy given the sale. So let's do the operator first. The big thing about a yard sale is you've got to use some common sense. I'm sorry, but we see it all the time. So we're driving around. We're going to talk, and it's not all going to be in order, okay? We're going to talk about signs and placement. Obviously, people need to get to where you're having the yard sale. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who take for granted, well, I put it in a paper, so everybody in the world must read the paper and must know where my address is because it's an address in Coeur d'Alene, so everybody must know where it is so they don't ever put an arrow on a sign, or a lot of them don't even use a sign. And then they sit there going, where the hell is everybody? Boy, this must be a bad time to have a yard sale. No, you've got to advertise. You've got to let people know you're coming, where to go to. Your signs. The easiest sign in the world. Just an arrow. Believe me, almost everybody who's in a yard sale mood will just follow a plain arrow. Some of them won't, but most of them will. So you want to have a sign, a little sign. And now I usually use cardboard. Don't be a fool and say, well, I've got a printer. I can print a sign up on an 8.5 by 11. Well, that's fine. That's good. That's good. That'll work. But you use small fonts. People can't read them unless they're standing right there. Cars are driving by doing 25 to 50 miles an hour. By the time they notice this white rectangle that's duct taped to a tree out front, they've already gone past. You want your sign to be readable. Make it simple. Follow the KISS formula. Keep it simple, stupid. Yard sale. Or, yeah, it's easier to say yard sale, even if you're having it in your garage, okay? Because it's only four letters. So, yard sale. And then you would have, the date, like 5-31. And then an arrow to lead them towards it, okay? It's a very simple thing. The less you put on there, the easier it is for people to read. Use the whole space of the sign to make your sign so that it's easy for people to read at a distance. Now, testing has shown that the best color combination for signs to get people's attention is an orange background with black letters. You can go from there, however you want to do it. Now, your signs, when you put them up, I'll give you an example. Highway 95 out here. So I would put a sign on Highway 95. They're heading north. I want them to turn right. So I get a sign right there that says that has an arrow to the right. Well, people will turn on that, and then I have another sign on the next street with an arrow to the left, so they'll go down there. And then I have a sign outside of my store for yard sale right there on the sidewalk, so people go, oh, that's where the yard sale is. Use some common sense again. If you're in a housing project that has the sprinklers come on every day, don't put your sign out the night before because it's going to get soaked and everything's going to run or it's going to collapse, and it's that simple. That you're done with the sign. It's gone. And don't just use a piece of paper. You get wind, you get rain, you get anything, and that piece of paper is worthless. We see it every time. We'll see. The guy goes out and spends $1.99 on a big piece of beautiful green poster board and marks his sign and puts it up. And then a wind hits it and it folds it around the pole. You can't read it. The purpose is to read your sign. So you make the sign. You know, if you want to print it on paper, that's fine. Then find yourself some cardboard. Cut a piece of cardboard out the same size as the paper. Tape it onto it. Now you got a solid sign. That's the important thing. You have to think ahead. Now, then your signs are going to be put up on things. What are they going to be put up on? They're going to be put up on a tree, or they're going to be put up on a telephone pole, wooden, or a concrete pole, or a steel pole, and there's different ways to do it. So you would take, and when I go out to put my signs up, I take a hammer, I take a staple gun, I take duct tape, and I take baling wire. Yeah, it just depends on what I find. Now, I don't take nails because if I'm going to put it on a wooden thing, somebody else has already done that. I'm just going to reuse their nails. And no, it's not because I'm cheap. So that's what I do. And you make sure it's on high enough that some kid's not going to walk by and go and knock it down just out of spite. So you reach up, make sure it's high enough, make sure it's visible, make sure it's not hidden behind a tree. Again, back to the KISS formula and common sense. The baiting wire I use if it's a concrete pole or a steel pole. Sometimes I'll use duct tape. Common sense. Baling wire, duct tape. And I use a staple gun sometimes if there's no nails that I could use. Or I take my hammer and I pull out the old nails and I use them to hold my sign up. Now listen, this is important. Always remove your signs when the sale is over. Cities have passed laws banning yard sale signs on anything because people are lazy and they forget to remove their signs. When the sale's over, take your signs down. It's not going to hurt you a bit to do so, and it makes everyone around you feel better that you're a responsible person. Like there's a real estate agent down the street here. He has a tree right there on his corner. That's his tree, and I got his permission to put my sign up there as long as I remove it each time. And I do. Other people don't. So we got the sign thing. Now, if it's going to rain, and here's another thing. If it's going to rain, up here sometimes it'll rain 15 minutes in every morning, and then within a half hour, it's all dried up. Again, think ahead. There are plastic, what do they call them, sheet savers or something. You slip your sign in, and you can ziplock it closed, and it's waterproof. I've even gone as far as taking saran wrap, wrapping around total of a sign, and taping the back of it so it's waterproof. My signs are permanent. I have the same yard sale signs here that I have used 5 years ago. And yes, it is because I'm cheap. All right, so that's the sign thing. Now, also, advertise your sale in the local throwaway. It could be Penny Saver, Nicholsworth, Knickknack, whatever you want to call it. You call up and you will say, and I'll give you an idea. Yard sale. I don't put the name of the company. I just put the address. 9360, 98, 970. I forgot. Whatever my address is, Government Way in Hayden. Okay. That's all. I give the address in Hayden because that's where our store is. And then I give the time. That's important. They need to know when they can come. Now, you're going to get these professionals that are going to show up early. I mean, sometimes 6 a.m. What you do with them is up to you. On my ads that I put in the Penny Saver or the Nicholsworth up here, I tell them the location, the times, and then I say early birds will be shot. That's fine. I've seen signs that said early birds welcome, bring extra money. So that's totally up to you, but it's a good idea. And if you're going to have your sale, and statistics prove the best sales for yard sales is Friday and Saturday. Yes, people work on Friday, but you know what? The professionals don't. They go out and they go to the yard sales on Friday. So Friday and Saturday are the best days to have yard sales. Sunday is, you know, who knows? You might make $5 after everybody gets out of church. So you run your ad, and then you need to make sure that you have tables to put your stuff on. People don't think of that. It's nothing more disgusting than going to a yard sale and the guy's got all his crap laid out in a driveway that's oil stained. You know, you can get tarps and lay them down on the grass and put stuff on them if you don't have tables. Clothing, people don't like digging around too much for clothing. If you can run a rope along the edge of your garage door or somehow have a coat rack or something that you can put your hung clothing up on, that really helps display it. And they can go through it quick and determine whether or not they want to buy anything. But if you got tables, use your tables. Make sure they're not put where they're rickety. And I've seen this. I've seen people take a 4x, if you can believe this, 3 sawhorses and a 4x8 sheet of quarter-inch plywood. Quarter-inch, okay? Put that down and then start stacking glasses on there. Yeah, you know what happened. So make sure you can display your items. People like digging. They do like digging through junk. So if you have some boxes, you can put certain things in boxes that aren't breakable and then, you know, put them around. But you want to display your stuff. Put your stuff out. It's important you have prices on everything. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck all day going, how much? Okay, honey, how much is this ashtray out here? put prices on everything. Or, I've seen this many times, anything on this table is 25 cents, anything on this table is a dollar, anything on this table is 50 cents, anything on this table is $10. You get it? I've seen guys go to Harbor Freight and get the $5 tarps and lay them out all over their lawn, and each one has a sign that says, everything here, a dollar, everything here, $5. I'm telling you, that really works. And have a free box. You never know what people are going to want, and it gets their attention. If you got this cardboard box which has a felt sign that says free box or free, people driving by will stop just for that. I know my son does. Now, you're going to need to have at least two people on duty at all times, if you can. You've got to be able to talk to two different people at the same time, and you've got to be able to take money, and you've got to be able to watch just common security, that kind of stuff. And be able to answer all the questions. People are going to ask you questions. And if you have one item out there, out of 1,000 items, if you have one item that's not priced, guess which one somebody's going to want to know what the price is. Okay, make sure you have change. Make sure you got a lot of change. Because you're going to find some idiot come up with a $20 bill and want to give that to you for this 25-cent keychain that you got there. So just make sure you have plenty of change. Be as considerate as you want. And all of these plastic bags you've been getting from the store, save them, because that helps sell more items. If people can say, well, you know, I got these 15 things I want to buy, but I do you have a bag? And you say yes, they go right there. There's the money. Okay, so there's some other things to think about. I'm going to have links on my website about yard sales. Now, let's talk about, as a customer, number one, be considerate to everyone. I have seen so many people, they're driving by a yard sale, and it's on a residential area, and they're driving by, and they're rubbernecking. They're doing maybe 2 miles an hour, and they're looking at, I wake them up real fast with a horn. But the people are stupid, and they do that. And it's extremely inconsiderate. So don't do that. And if you see a yard sale you want to go to, don't be one of those people that think that you need to diagonally park and put the butt of your vehicle out in the middle of traffic so that nobody can get by you. These are things I see every time I go to yard sales. Or I got a friend of mine. He's just an idiot. He stops his truck in the middle of the road, just right in the middle. And he gets out and he walks around and looks and talks and spends money and gets back in his truck and takes off. Every time I see him, I said, God, I knew it was you. The hell are you doing stopping in the middle of the and he gets out and he goes, oh, I don't know, I wasn't thinking. And that's the problem. They don't think. So the first step is be considerate in how you park, and don't jam in so that the guy behind you can't get out, because you're going to get hit. Some lady pulled in behind me so close, and my back of my car at the time was so packed I couldn't see backwards. And that's my fault. I was being stupid. I didn't make sure it was clear. I got in. She was literally 1 inch from my rear bumper. And their excuse is always, oh, I was only going to be here a second. So I bumped her. I didn't do any damage. But it sure made a lot of noise. So just be considerate and be safe where you stop and how you stop. Also, be aware. Again, most yard sales are in a residential area, which means there's children there. And the millennial parents are the stupidest parents that have ever lived on earth. They will allow their children on their bicycles to be riding in and out of the driveway and up and down the street there where all the traffic is. Too many times, I'm not kidding and I'm not dramatizing, that's real. So be very careful. There might be children, there might be dogs, and there might be humans walking out between the cars. Again, this is a yard sale, so there's going to be a lot of cars. Especially right now. The first yard sale that pops up, it's almost like moths to a flame. Everybody's there. Everybody's looking for stuff. And if you know what you're looking for, or if you know what you're looking at, well, you can make some deals. My son picked something up for a quarter yesterday. And he said, oh, it's a pizza cutter. I go, what? Yeah, you know, the little rolling ones. But it was made by Cutco 40 years ago. The wheel comes off. You can sharpen it. Comes go back on. They sell for $50 on eBay. He paid a quarter for it. This is what you can find at a yard sale. Don't be one of those idiots that bring their pets to the sale, unless you're walking down the street. You know, we see this all the time. They have these dogs. They're Yorkies. They're about the size of a grapefruit. And you always find these people with, oh, this is my dog. He goes everywhere with me. And they go into a yard sale, and then the dog's in her arms, and the dog's like, why the hell you got me with you? This is ridiculous. I'd rather be asleep in a car. Just don't do that. You know, it's just, it gets in everybody's way. And then you get the guy, we had this one woman who had two of these Yorkies and carried both of them, and they hated people, so they were always snapping and snarling and biting. And one day I just said, you know what, you need to keep those dogs in the car, because one of these times it's going to snap at me and I'm going to bite its damn head off. Be considerate, and really don't be rude unless, of course, it's called for. Take plenty of quarters with you. Don't be the guy with the $20 bill buying a $1 thing. Take quarters with you. Take dollar bills with you. Take $5 bills with you. And those of you who are looking for good things, make sure you take some $100 bills with you. Just be careful of what you know, just be careful and try to be as considerate as possible, because you can actually get some deals if you're very considerate. You know, these people, like we were at a sale yesterday was the first day that yard sales were actually happening up here. And this guy had a Mossberg bolt action rifle with a 4 to 12 power scope on it and a sling. He was an old man. He was about 80 years old. He had bought it. This is one of those guns I've talked to you about before. $399 on sale. You go to Big Five, North 40, Walmart sometimes, and you'll find these specials. And they come out in 270, 30-06, 308, different calibers. And it's the whole kit. It's the rifle, the scope, the sling. He had bought one. He got 30-06. He fired it once, and it dislocated his shoulder. So at 80 years old, you don't have no need to be shooting a 30-06, except in war if you had to. So he's going to sell it. So some guy was up there looking at it and saying, oh, yeah, it looks dirty. He pulled the bolt out. He looked down the board. Yeah, it looks dirty. It's kind of grutty here. I don't know. Is this thing shot out? The old man said, I told you, I fired one round out. Well, it don't look like one round to me. So what do you want for it? And I could see the old man was getting a little grouchy. He said, I'll take $350 for it. Guy gets thought about it and set it down and walked off. So I picked it up and I looked at it and I looked down the bore and I said, just need a brush. That's all you need. And he goes, and the old man goes, yeah, I know that, but I'm not going to deal with someone like that. I said, well, what do you want for it? He goes, $250. Now, I don't need it. So I looked at it and it's worth $400, and he'll get that at a gun show. But I set it down, and there was a guy behind me. I said, if you don't buy that for $250, I'm buying it. And he goes, no, I'm buying it right now. So he bought it. But that's, you know, you show courtesy to these people. Some of these people are, how do I put this? Well, when we see a sign that says estate sale, that's usually professionals. And those are the people that jack prices up like you wouldn't believe, like a Red Rider Daisy BB gun. It's a classic. They're new. They're making them. They've been making them for 50 years. So here's one in this estate sale. I can go over to Walmart and buy it for, I think, $28. And they had $100 on it. I'm like, what the hell? And they, you know, you got to be careful. You see the word estate sale most of the time. Not all the time. Most of the time, it's a professional company that comes in, and it's the survivors of a death in the family. And they tell these people, you don't just sell this stuff, and then you can take 20% of whatever you get. And they jack those prices up. And it's embarrassing and astounding. But anyway, yard sales are a lot of fun. You can find stuff there that will blow your mind. And think always. Don't just think of what you need now. And that's, you know, you need something. Well, you can probably find it at a yard sale or a garage sale or a tag sale, whatever words you want to use in your part of the country. Flea markets, a different ball of wax, but same idea. We don't have flea markets up here. It's the weather's too weird. But you can find clothing. You can find automobiles, motorhomes, boats, building materials, weapons, toys. You name it. Somebody says, you know, I just don't need this stuff anymore and I'd rather have some money. And unfortunately, right now, there's a lot of people out there. And when I say a lot, I don't mean 40 or 50. I'm talking about 50 million, 100 million that need money. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can have a yard sale yourself. You just find the stuff that you no longer need, because one man's trash is another man's treasure. I've bought things that people think. I went to a yard sale one time. Now, this is when I was a master gunsmith and I was working on a fully auto Mac 10. There is a specialized pin that holds the upper to the receiver, and you can't find them anywhere. and it has a detent on it and a ring on one side. And those of you who got a Mac 10 or a Mac 11 or a Mac 9, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm at a yard sale, and here's this free box. And I'm digging through it, and sure as hell, here's the pin down at the bottom. And I picked it up, and I walked over. I go, what's this for? And he goes, oh, my dad was a gunsmith, and I got a lot of crap that he left. That's just something extra. I said, is it free? And he goes, yeah, go take it. That's real. That happened. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be signing off here, but go to my website, se1.us, survivalenterprises.com, and even cbdsupply.us. Look at the stuff that we have. If you can use any of it, give us a holler. Get a hold of us. Order online. You can call us at 310-295-9686. We've got to stop using our 800 number because it's costing us too much, and we're not making money. Everything's tight, right? You don't need me to tell you that. But we've been in business 35, 36 years, and this is the worst it's ever been. And it's getting to the point where we can't even afford our rent, which is fine. You know, I don't mind fixing up Volkswagens for a living. SE1.us, if you can find something there. If you have any questions, feel free at any time to give us a call. 310-295-9686. My email address is on every one of the pages at armchairsurvivalist.com. My email address is down at the bottom. Listen to the shows. Go to the show notes and read the stuff that I've talked about. And I really don't know what else to say. I hope everybody's doing fine. I hope you guys are keeping your heads above water. It is not easy for a lot of us.